Welcome to the podcast of Central Church. This is a recording of our monthly contemplative service. It has been lightly edited so you can participate wherever you're listening. Our contemplative service is a gathering wrapped around spiritual practice. Each month, we look at the writings and teachings of a different saint, mystic, or spiritual teacher within our Christian tradition. We hear a bit of their life story, and then we sit with some of their writings using a variety of spiritual practices. We encourage you to practice with us as you're listening, and may you connect a little deeper with the heart of God along with us.
We are going to have a lovely time together this morning, just leaning into some of what we are considering in Lent this year around decluttering and allowing the Spirit of God a little space in our souls to do some work, to make some more room, I guess, for God. And so we're going to get into it. But before we do that, how about I pray just to bring our hearts and our spirits into alignment. God of life, God of love, we're here together today to join together today to be with you and to be with one another. And Holy Spirit, I ask that as we slow down, as our bodies are a little more still in this hour, as our minds and our hearts turn towards you and your ways, Holy Spirit, would you do a good work in us? Would you help us to rest? Would you help us to trust? Would you help us to love you a little more and love one another well too? Amen. We're going to start with confession. Again, this morning, I don't think we did it last month, but it is usually a way in which we start our contemplative service. But as a reminder, the aim of our confession is not to bring all our sinful deeds to the surface and, you know, confess them to one another, but actually to practice being a people of transparency and vulnerability, to practice what it means to actually bring our true selves to one another and to know love and to have, you know, to actually speak out what might be the truth of some of our inner being in ways that are positive and also in ways that we know we would like to grow. So our confession is not rooted in some kind of self-flagellation, but in a desire to be a community who are transparent and vulnerable with one another. And so as we are journeying through Lent, one of our framing quote is a quote from Henry Nouwen, where he wrote, "I am not what I do, I am not what I have, I am not what other people say about me, I am the beloved of God." And so our confession this morning is simply to ask ourselves, which one of these is the biggest hook for you? Like, in you, which one of these has the most, like, energy, you could say, or the most power might be another way of describing it. Another way of asking the question would be, in which of these things do you feel your self-worth lives a little bit deeper? Like, you feel like your self-esteem or your self-worth is attached a little stronger to what you do or to what you have or to what other people think about you. Or another way that I am self-reflective about this quote in my life is I've asked myself, which one of these has the most emotional drama? So in other words, when I fail or I don't meet my own expectations or someone else's expectations of me, how emotionally fraught is that? Like, where do I go? Like, do I have space where I can hold that? Like, it's okay, you know, I don't have to be perfect. Or do I spiral into all manner of like mental gymnastics and emotional places? So, or maybe it's around, you know, what you have or don't have that might send you spiraling. Or maybe it's around what other people think about you. When you feel that someone doesn't like you, or you feel that someone has disagreed with you, or you actually know that someone doesn't like you or doesn't agree with you, how much space do you have to hold that and how much do you spiral? So it's about considering which one of these has maybe a little bit more of a hook for you. And so we're going to just share that with one another. And if you're sitting next to your partner, husband, wife, soul friend, and you've already shared this and you want to share with someone else, or you don't want to share with that person, feel free to move around. Like, you're not stuck in your seat. You can find someone else to share with. You can equally also just have a conversation. And of course, we always want to do this safely. So if you this morning are like, oh, I don't know if I really want to share this, that's okay. With the person that you're partnered with, just say, I don't feel up to talking about this morning. And then just have a nice conversation while everyone else is going on. And no one will know that you've skipped the question. So you are free to engage in however you want. I'm going to give us a few minutes. And then what I'd like you to do, just to finish, is to say a blessing over the person that you're sharing with. That just is a way of tangibly speaking out the truth. And so our little confession and our truth-telling this morning to one another is, may the ground of your being become knowing that you are the beloved of God. Does that sound okay? So let's practice some wonderful honesty together this morning. Okay, we're going to do two kind of practices together this morning. One that I'm going to lead us in now, and then Becca is then going to lead us in a second kind of practice. And they're all sort of like connecting in with this same theme that we're leaning into in Lent and this quote. So what we're going to do in this next little time is, there's a little handout for you that has an artwork on it, and on below the artwork is a bit of a longer quote from Henry Nouwen, and on the back is a blessing from Jan Richardson. And so what I'm going to do is I'd like to just invite us into a time of quiet reflection. So I've given it to you on a handout because I personally sometimes find that having something in my hand and reading along is a helpful way for something to sink deeper into me. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to read out these two quotes slowly twice. And as I do that, you're free to just sit and listen and kind of close your eyes and rest. Or you might like to look at the artwork and engage some way with that as I read, or you might like to follow along with the words as I do. So I'm going to do that through twice slowly, and then I'm going to just take it, see if I can take us a little bit deeper into this sort of sense of being the beloved of God. Prayer is listening to the voice of the one who calls you the beloved. It is to constantly go back to the truth of who we are and claim it for ourselves. I'm not what I do. I'm not what people say about me. I'm not what I have. I am the beloved of God. My life is not rooted in the world, the things the world gives me. My life is rooted in the truth of my spiritual identity. I am the beloved of God. Beloved is where we begin. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are, beloved, named by the one who has traveled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it is hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what this journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path there will be help. I can tell you that on this way there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us, bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear and with their curious insistence whisper our name, beloved. Beloved, beloved. Prayer is listening to the voice of the one who calls you the beloved. It is to constantly go back to the truth of who we are and claim it for ourselves. I'm not what I do. I'm not what people say about me. I'm not what I have. I am the beloved of God. My life is not rooted in the world, the things the world gives me. My life is rooted in the truth of my spiritual identity. I am the beloved of God. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are, beloved, named by the one who has traveled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it is hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what this journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path, there will be help. I can tell you that on this way, there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear and with their curious insistence whisper our name. Beloved, beloved, beloved. Now I'm going to see if we can connect a little bit more to our bodies this morning as we're sitting with these truth of being the beloved. And I know that sometimes when we do embodied practice, it can feel a little bit vulnerable. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you to stand. So maybe just you can put the piece of paper down. And in order to just give one another the greatest sense of privacy we can give each other in a room when we're doing something similar, I'm going to suggest that those who are on sort of the inner circle, you can stay where you are, but perhaps those that are on the outer circle, maybe turn around and face the wall. This will give you a sense that no one's looking at you, except there are some people further out and you can do whatever you want. And it, just give that yourself a sense of like privacy. And I'm going to read these two quotes again, and I want to invite you to stand and to just notice your body as I'm reading these quotes out again. And then I'm going to lead us through just a simple embodiment reflection around being the beloved. And if I invite you to close your eyes if that feels okay. If closing your eyes feels too vulnerable for you, just maybe soften your gaze and you can stare at the wall or a plant or your feet. How about we take a deep breath in together and just let that breath out. Prayer is listening to the voice of the one who calls you the beloved. It is to constantly go back to the truth of who we are and claim it for ourselves. I'm not what I do. I'm not what people say about me. I'm not what I have. I am the beloved of God. My life is not rooted in the world, the things the world gives me. My life is rooted in the truth of my spiritual identity. I am the beloved of God. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are, beloved, named by the one who has traveled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it is hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what this journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path, there will be help. I can tell you that on this way, there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us, bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear and with their curious insistence whisper our name. Beloved, beloved, beloved. Just as you're standing, just feel your feet connecting with the floor. Feel the bottoms of your feet and imagine that you're landing inside your own self. All five of your toes, your heel, the balls of your feet connecting to the ground. And as you are aware of your feet, begin to move your awareness up the long length of your body. And begin to stand tall. Adjust your stance so that all your bones are stacked in alignment. Your head over your shoulders over your hips, your hips over your knees over your feet. Feel yourself grounded by your feet to the floor, with the crown of your head gently drawing upwards. And just notice how your body feels. Just become aware of if there's any tension that you're holding in your body. Check in with your jaw, your shoulders, your calves. Check in with your breathing. Let your breath be long and slow. And if you're holding any tension anywhere in this body of yours, just let it go, let it rest. I just invite you to take a moment to consider, if you were to locate in your body where your sense of belovedness dwells, where would it be? Where in your body do you most connect with that deep knowing that you are the beloved of God? And I just want to invite you, if you feel comfortable, to just place your hand or your hands on that part of your body. Just let your hand rest on that center of yourself where you know that your belovedness dwells. And just imagine for a moment that the Spirit of God would also be placing their hands on that part of you. And that together you're acknowledging, this is my belovedness. This is where I dwell. This is the ground of my being, where I know that I am loved of God. And I just invite you in this moment to just feel your inherent worth and dignity. Feel the belovedness of God just radiate out from that central point to fill all of your body. Connect with the idea that your belovedness radiates out from your body into the air around you. That it mingles with the belovedness of the person to your left and your right. And as you're just holding this sense in your own body, as you're feeling the warmth of your own hand, feeling that connection to the Spirit of God, just take a moment to consider, what would it feel like for you to live from this place of belovedness? What would it feel like for you to move through the hours of every day, knowing that you are the beloved of God? What would it feel like for you to walk into your own life with a deeper sense of how much God loves you, of how much God accepts you, just as you are? Creator God, would you help each one of us to live each day knowing that the ground of our being, the very center of who we are, the deepest, most truest thing about us is that we are loved by you. Would you help us take this a little bit deeper into our bodies, into our hearts, into our minds, that we would grow in belovedness. This we pray. Amen. You might like to just take a few breaths and bring yourself back to the room. And when you feel like it, you could grab a seat.
Thanks, Kara. I saw a meme not too long ago that said, are you the eldest daughter in your family or are you happy? Linda's laughing. That made a lot of sense in my life, actually. I was like, okay, this is, yeah. I grew up a pastor's daughter in very small town, America, Pennsylvania. Also growing up in a church, I felt responsible for making God proud of me, having other people feel like Christianity is a good path and is maybe cool. That also definitely did not work. I was not cool. In America, we have this thing called see you at the poll, where you like all the Christians. Did you guys do that here, see you at the poll? I probably talked to... Knew about it, yeah. So like it was like one of the first, when school started in September, it had been one of those first days. And all the Christian kids would meet at the flagpole, like early, so then to pray and worship. And then as the buses are coming in, everyone can see who the Christians are. It's really special. Yeah, anyways, I have so many stories. We won't tell them now. I'm not sure what my slides are exactly. Yeah, so when Karen and I were chatting about this Henry Nouwen quote, I would, for me, like, I grew up pretty poor. I still don't really care that much about stuff or, ownership of things. And I think a lot, Christians vary on that, but I am not what I have. I'm not really thinking about, like, a nice house or a nice car or amazing clothes. But for me, what that stirs up is, like, I am not what I have control of or responsibility for. I am not what I have in my arms or in my heart. I think that's what came up with me as a more of a struggle. And I was just wanting us to reflect for a moment on your family of origin, your church of origin. What were you taught you were responsible for that now looking, maybe having a different perspective, you're like, oh, actually, I don't think that was my problem. I think that was a you problem. Do I have another slide with that or no? Yeah, just that question at the bottom. What did your family of origin or church of origin teach you? So just take a moment and just have a think. Who did you feel responsible for? Because I think we have been told that we are responsible for other people's feelings. Maybe you had a parent that you tried to make really proud or happy, or you tried to keep them stable. Friends and neighbors. I had a dad who was a small, we lived in the parsonage right next to the church. My dad is such a beautiful human. And also I'm learning that my dad has really lacked boundaries in the past, as a pastor. And we would often have people show up at our door at midnight, knocking on the door, needing a ride somewhere. And my dad would go and do that, which, yeah, it's interesting thinking about that now. But that was modeled to me as, like, this is what it means to be a Christian, is you'll drop anything at any moment and do anything for anyone. And I think we've also been taught that we need to be worshiping God and telling God how amazing God is and how worthy God is and keep God happy. I was listening to something. I was riding in the car with somebody. They were listening to something. And this Christian, American Christian, was talking about how, I have quiet times every day because I don't want God's wrath upon me. And I was like, oh, right. Like, I remember feeling that. If I don't, pray in this way every day, then God is going to have a feeling towards me that's negative. I was responsible for God's feelings. I was responsible for how God treated me. I was responsible for the destiny and salvation of other people. I was responsible for if people ended up in heaven or hell. That was put on me as a teenager. I don't know if anyone else resonated with, you know, has ever felt that. And then as a parent, you know, I'm responsible for the destiny and future of my children. That's what I have been told. That if my kids are, you know, little selfies of me, and if they are doing well, it's because of me, and if they're doing poorly, it's because of me. These are messages that I've picked up in the church that I actually do not think are true or helpful. And it is very important to be a caring person. That is very important. But caretaking and taking responsibility for other people, unless they are a child, is actually something that can become really unhealthy for us and can actually burn us out pretty easily. And Melody Beattie she's written a book on codependency, and then she has another book called The Language of Letting Go, which I think is so beautiful. It's just like a daily excerpt on for those of us that are struggling with caretaking and codependency. I'm not going to go into that, but it's an addiction. Codependency is an addiction. It's a very difficult path to walk. And I'm not going to go into that. But if this is resonating with you, like, feel free to chat with me later. I've been on my own journey with that. But caretaking is the act of taking responsibility for other people while neglecting responsibility for ourselves. So when we instinctively feel responsible for the feelings, the thoughts, the choices, the problems, the comfort, and the destiny of others, we are caretakers. And so this has been quite a significant thing in my life. Can you put up the next slide, Anna? And the more I've been learning about boundaries, because the thing is, if you have a problem with boundaries, so if you have a problem with alcohol or drugs or, you know, I don't know, killing people, like, the church is probably going, somebody's probably going to come up to you and say, hey, like, I really think you've got a problem. You should stop that. If you have a problem with boundaries, everyone else benefits. If you can't say no to people, most churches you're in love that. They are not going to come up to you and say, hey, I think you've been serving. You're on a few too many rosters, you know. And some of the best thing we can do as a church and churches can do is actually give people more agency and more power in their own lives making decisions, of course. And we're trying to do that here at Central. But it is, you know, if you're somebody who likes to serve and give and have control over lots of other people and things, like, often you'll do really well in a church, you know, which is, it's problematic. But it's actually important that we realize that we can figure out what is me, as like we've just been talking about the beloved of God, and what is other people in their own belovedness. And where is the boundary, which we're going to do a little exercise, which I find really helpful. But yeah, Melody Beattie has this quote, there are some things we can't do, no matter how long or hard we try. These things include changing other people, solving their problems, and controlling their behavior. And even for myself, I've noticed how much I want to change people, control them, solve their problems. I love to solve people's problems. That makes me feel so good, especially as an Enneagram 2. I love to be that person who can jump in and help you and fix this thing and say that encouraging thing and, you know. But that's actually not benefiting me or the other person. Jesus has told us, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Even Jesus understood healthy boundaries and that we are not the same person as any other person, not even our children, not our parents, not our friends, not our partner. And there's been things for me with my in my marriage of now 15 years where I'm suddenly in the last year being like, oh, that's a you problem, not a me problem. I'm not going to be involved in that. And anytime you set boundaries with people, they don't like it. Okay? And something that I've learned as well is it doesn't feel good to set boundaries when you first start it. You will feel guilty. You will feel bad. If your sense of belovedness has come from, you know, what you do for people, what people say about you, and what you have control of or responsibility for, when you start cutting that off in ways, it doesn't feel good. It is like an addiction. And the Melody Beattie says, the kindest and most generous behavior we can choose is taking responsibility for ourselves, for what we think, for what we feel, for what we want, and for what we need. And yeah, this is a very, like, I am talking to myself right now. This is something I am actively in the past year and a half, really, really working on and processing. And if you ask me to do something after church today, I'll probably say yes. But I am working on it, okay? And so, yeah, I don't know. Is this resonating with some of us? Like, yeah, we've talked about it a bit at church camp, actually. Yeah. The kindest thing I can do is take care of myself. And then when I say yes or no to people, it's meaningful. And I can be trusted. If I say yes to Kara all the time and then she knows that I'm, like, burnt out, she doesn't feel free to ask me to do something. But if I say no, I can't do that, then she knows, okay, I can ask Becca because she's going to say yes or no. I become more of a trustworthy person in people's lives. So do I have another slide? Yeah, so what we're going to do is, if we want to pass out, do you like my artwork? I made that, guys. I did have to do it a few times. Yeah, I'm gonna do it too. Yeah, so this is, I don't remember where I learned this little strategy, but I want you to take a piece of paper, find a pencil. There's some pencils here if anybody needs a pencil. And all you're gonna do is draw a circle. Don't take up the whole page. Just kind of in the middle and write me. And then what you're going to do is I want you to, inside the circle, I want you to write down all the things you are in control of right now. All the things you are actually responsible for. So for me, it might be, you know, like if I was doing this the other night, I would have said, I'm responsible to prepare for, you know, speaking this morning. Right? And I might write that, you know, preparing to speak this morning. I might write, I'm responsible for exercise. I'm responsible for the food I eat. I am responsible for making food for my children. I'm responsible to notice how I'm feeling. I'm responsible for, you know, my thoughts and noticing my thoughts and where I let my thoughts go. I'm responsible for you know, I might have a person that I'm responsible to do something for, or, you know. But I want you to write just what you are actually responsible for. And then on the outside, I want you to write all the things that you are thinking about, the things you're worried about, the people that you care about. I want you to put all of those things and people outside of the circle. So put all your family members that you care for, parents, kids, siblings. I want you to put those all outside. You might have something at work that's stressful. I want you to put that outside the circle. For me, I do this, like, sometimes I do birth support, and so when somebody's birth is imminent, I often am thinking about them, worried about them, wanting to help them have the best possible birth experience, but I'm not, you know, I'll put in outside the circle, I'll put them, their birth experience. I'm not actually responsible for that. I'm responsible to respond to them when they call me, but I'm not responsible for the outcome of their experience. So just let's spend a few moments doing that. So what we're just going to do as a prayer practice that I can find really helpful when I have, if I'm worried about someone or worried about a situation and I start praying, I find that I often pray prayers that are full of worry, prayers that are trying to problem solve, control the situation, and it doesn't actually help me feel better. And I don't know that it helps the situation. So what I have started to do, especially if there's a few, let's see into my brain, when there's a few different people, a few different situations that I'm kind of worried about, or this feels overwhelming with my work or whatever it is, or my kids, is I will, what I'll do, we did this at church not too long ago, but I'll go like this. I breathe in for this person or this situation, and I breathe out for this person's situation. And then I move on to the next person or the next thing. I breathe in for this person. I breathe out for this person. And then I move on to the next thing. And it lets my body know that I'm present here in this moment, wherever I am. Sometimes I'm driving, sometimes I'm, you know, walking, sitting, whatever. And it lets me lift this person to God, Creator, who knows everything about this situation and actually about what's best for the situation. I'm doing something, but I'm also letting go. And I think that's been really important for me. So let's just do that for a few moments. So I want you to just look at some of the things that are outside of your circle. And just choose one of them, one of those people or situations. And if you want to close your eyes, you're welcome to, you don't have to. And we're just going to breathe in. And we're going to breathe out. And now I want you to actually look at someone else or something else that's on outside of your circle. And we're going to breathe in for that person. And we're going to breathe out for that person. And we'll just take a few minutes and just continue in your own time, in your own rhythm, to just breathe in and out for people and situations that are outside of you, outside of your circle. Thank you, God, that our belovedness is something that has been gifted to us, something that's intrinsic, something that is as close to us from the dust, from the stardust from which we were created. Thank you that our belovedness is so far outside of anything we do, anything we have, anything others think or say about us. Help us, God, to know what is our responsibility and what is not. Help us to truly grow in loving our neighbors deeply and loving ourselves deeply. Amen.
Thanks, Becca. That's so good. I feel like, yeah, there's so much to unpack there. But for me, I think that's a really helpful practice that I could continue with, just that the simplicity of that as a prayer practice of holding others and the things that I'm not responsible for, but not holding them as well and letting them go. Yeah, that's good. Well, we're gonna come to the table to communion together. And I was just reflecting throughout this morning as we were talking and thinking, and particularly when Becca was sharing about that idea of one of the things that you were told and that I was definitely felt like I inherited growing up from my church, was this sense of being responsible or carrying this sort of sense of not being okay with God and needing to make sure I was okay with God. And then also this real heaviness of burden of other people and their eternal destiny being in my hands to some extent. And while I feel like for a long time I've probably let go of those things in my head, sometimes I think there's like that lingers in our body and in our hearts. And I think communion can and should be a reminder to us of a God and the divine that is not requiring anything of us. And Richard Rohr says that Jesus came and lived amongst us and died here for us and with us not to change God's mind about us, but to change our mind about God. And I think I can't hear that enough, because I think that's partly what I inherited, but I think partly it's our nature sometimes that we assume that there's something wrong with us that means that other people or our family or God has something that is our responsibility to fix against us. But I think that this taking communion together can be this thing that just is a beautiful reminder that we are the beloved and that God does not require anything of us, because God is the very essence of love that is amongst us, between us, in us, and demonstrated on the cross and in Jesus. And so, yeah, as we take the bread and the juice and the port this morning, yeah, I want us just to take a moment, maybe in silence, to just reflect for a minute on the total freedom of that act of love that God continues to pour out for us and that we have no responsibility for, but we are co-participants in that love, that it is not our responsibility, but it is our gift, and part of our essence as well, that love that is poured out for us is also in us and in each of us. So let's come and let's take a moment. We'll take the bread and the juice and then come back and just, yeah, take a moment as you hold those to, yeah, ponder maybe that nothing needs to be done, that there is no responsibility for you towards God, that God loves towards us first, and that everything else is gift, that is gift. Or maybe there's other things from this morning that you'd like to kind of just sink a bit deeper into as well. So, yeah, come and receive communion, and then we'll do that together. Very good.